In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God,
we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake he forgives you all your sin. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth.
Lord God, heavenly King, almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you who take away the sin of the world, have mercy on us. You are seated at the right hand of the Father. Receive our prayer. For you alone are the Holy One. You alone are the Lord. You alone are the Most High. Jesus Christ with the Holy Spirit in the glory of God the Father. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O Lord, we pray that your grace may always go before and follow after us, that we may continually be given to all good works. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Old Testament reading for the 16th Sunday after Trinity is from 1 Kings chapter 17. Now it happened, after these things, that the son of the woman who owned the house became sick. And his sickness was so serious that there was no breath left in him. So she said to Elijah, "What have I to do with you, O man of God? Have you come to me to bring my sin to remembrance and to kill my son?" And he said to her, "Give me your son." So he took him out of her arms and carried him to the upper room where he was staying and laid him on his own bed. Then he cried out to the Lord and said, "O Lord, my God, have you also brought tragedy on the widow with whom I lodge, by killing her son?" And he stretched himself out on the child three times and cried out to the Lord and said, "O Lord, my God, I pray, let this child's soul come back to him." Then the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came back to him, and he was revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down from the upper room into the house and gave him to his mother. And Elijah said, "See, your son lives." Then the woman said to Elijah, "Now by this I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is the truth." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle is from Ephesians chapter 3. Therefore, I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for whom the whole family in heaven and on earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 7th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and a large crowd. And when he came near the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the city was with her. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, "Do not weep." Then he came and touched the open coffin, and those who carried him stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." So he who was dead sat up and began to speak. And he presented him to his mother. Then fear came upon all. And they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has risen up among us, and God has visited his people." And this report about him went throughout all Judea and all the surrounding region. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Jesus came near the gate of the city. Behold, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and a large crowd from the city was with her. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and he said to her, "Do not weep." Then he came and touched the open coffin, and those who carried him stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." So he who was dead sat up and began to speak. And Jesus presented him to his mother. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
There are times in this veil of tears in which we experience true joy that is good. When a Christian man and woman, after courtship, pledge themselves to each other and are united in holy matrimony, the celebration of those Christian weddings are times of great joy, great hope, great anticipation. And that is good, because such a time of joy points to the ultimate joy, the fruition of marriage in the union of Christ the bridegroom, to his bride, the church, in which there is communion and fellowship with God in the divine life and love that will never end. There are other times, too, when the Christian husband and wife become a father and a mother, and a newborn baby is born healthy, smooth skin, bright eyes. How many times have I heard Christians exclaim, "It is a miracle," and they're right. The miracle of life and the miracle of love came together in that marriage, and there was a child born, a time of great joy. And it bespeaks how we are created by God in his image and likeness to receive the gift of life, and then to share that gift of life in the communion of love with each other and with our gracious Lord. And then there are other times of joy as the family expands and grows and matures, and you're sitting around the dinner table and you are hearing all of the things that have happened during the day, and there is laughter and there is pride on the part of mom and dad to see this life shared by the children, to see them grow up and mature. And not only to live for themselves, but to live in service for another. All of these times of joy are not only good things, but even an atheist or an unbeliever can experience some of these joys, and they are a testament to the fact that in this life, it is more than simply something that came into existence without meaning and without purpose. Life is a gift of God. And all of those joys are gifts of God. And they bespeak the ultimate joy of being in Christ and he in us. And then, every one of us in this veil of tears experiences what the widow in the gospel experienced, or the widow in the Old Testament reading, that woman from Zarephath. When that funeral procession was going out of the city of Nain. There was a great crowd. And you've been in those crowds, haven't you? At the death of loved ones, gathered here to support those Christians who have lost a husband or a son. What could you do? I've been to a lot of funerals. I've officiated at a lot of funerals. But I could not do what Jesus did. All we can do is gather to support them, to pray for them, to sing for them. But the grief caused by death bespeaks the reality that this is an intrusion upon the joy of life and the goodness of God's creation. And nothing can change that except the word of the Lord Jesus and the blessed hope of the resurrection, wherein on the day the trumpet sounds, the joys of life that God intended for us from before the foundation of the world will be restored. Only Jesus can do what Jesus did. And what a shocking thing it must have been for that funeral procession to have him enter into the midst of them and lay his hand upon the casket and stop the funeral procession dead. Pun intended. He stops death by death. Think of it. The hymn writer says he has swallowed up death by his death, which is the ultimate sign of his empathy and of his compassion for you. As St. Luke records, he saw this woman, she was a widow, the joys of marriage she was not enjoying any longer. Her husband was dead. The joy of a mother to give life to her child and to celebrate that life around the dinner table and to see her son grow up to be a young man, knowing that he would be there for her, is now taken from her. You don't get over that grief in this life. You don't get over the sense of emptiness. Grief is something we will carry from now to the grave. But we do so in hope. In hope that is centered in Christ, who is the victor over death by death, and who restores life and immortality to light through the gospel. Jesus enters into the city of Nain, and Luke says he has compassion for her. What does it mean? It means that his heart has broken open in love and in sympathy. And yes, in empathy. For when Jesus touches that coffin, he indicates that he has come to take all of the sin and everything that sin has brought into our lives, all of the brokenness, and to make it his own. It is what the apostle says in Hebrews. We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but one who is assaulted, buffeted, attacked, tempted in every way as we are. Why? Because he has not only become one with our flesh and blood, but he has become one with our sorrow, our sadness, our sickness, our grief, and our death, making it his own. What a dramatic scene before those in the city of Nain to have Jesus touch that casket. What is he doing? According to Old Testament law, it renders him ceremonially unclean. That's precisely what he wanted to be. Unclean for you, bearing the sin for you, bearing the consequences of sin for you, bearing all of the things that interrupt the joys of life for you. And there is nothing he wanted to do more than that. No wonder great, awesome reverence and fear gripped them. Who is this? A great prophet has risen up among us. Yea, more than that, God has visited his people in the person of his Son to reverse every effect of sin and every cause of grief, and to restore us to a life with God that will never end. And so, he says to the young man, I say to you, arise. And he sat up and he began to speak. He began to confess. He began to praise God. He began to sing. And then Jesus presented this son back to his mother. Oh, what joy and gladness was restored to her. It is an image and it is a picture of the resurrection on the last day, in which when the trumpet sounds, the dead will not only be raised, but you and I will be reunited with those who have gone before us in the blessed love and life of the Lord Jesus, which will never end. Oh, the height and the depth and the breadth of the love of God in this life. We become partakers of that divine love now. And in the grief and the things that interrupt our sorrow, interrupt our joy with sorrow, we learn the empathy and the compassion of the Lord Jesus for us, that we might share that empathy and compassion with one another. For our pilgrimage as the baptized faithful joins us to Jesus, to his death first. And all of the suffering that we experience should remind us of that which he experienced, for he has taken it all into himself, that by his death he might swallow up death and the joy of the resurrection might be ours. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, there's nothing we can do at the death of loved ones, at the death of fellow Christians, except to be here as Jesus was there in name, and to confess and to sing the glories of Jesus' love in his suffering, in his death, which gives way to resurrection, to new life that will never end. Be still, my soul. You heard the children sing of it. He will right all of the wrongs at last. Everything that interrupts our joy will be taken away through our suffering. Through our grief, we bear witness to him who by his suffering and grief has restored eternal life and resurrection with God that shall never end. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, unto life everlasting.
Amen.
Let us confess the faith with the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, And the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the whole church on earth, that by our Lord's compassionate visitation to us, he would root our hearts in love, give us faith, and raise us from death. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all pastors and congregations of our church body, for all pursuing a call into the pastoral ministry, and for right preaching and distribution of the word and sacrament, that the mercy of God would be powerfully accomplished among us, causing life to flourish and increasing faith in the true words of his servants. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those having baptismal birthdays this week, Lucas Dubnica, Ashley Newman, Ethan Kruger, Tim Ferking, Richard Gallagher, Sherry Prowatsky, Travis Dubnica, August Christofferson, Ben Benasek, Brianna Hertzberg, Donna Auftenbergi, Christine Dubnica, George Kaminsky, Melissa Brendel, Evan Hertzberg, Jeff Meehan, and for all the baptized, that although they had no breath in them, that through holy baptism, the fullness of Christ would supply his church with his own spirit of boldness, strength, and love. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who suffer or who are in need, for Jennifer Scheller, for Wolf Knoppe, for Shirley Weber, Tom Zahn, Amy Bruss, Kathy May, for Connor, Travis, Michael, for Kathleen Hetzel, Dennis Michalis, Kathy Miller, and for Gabby Hartwig, that God would lead them through their trials in order to know the fullness of his love. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all families of the church, for those celebrating wedding anniversaries this week, for Ed and Michelle Rotzlaff, Pat and Kate Handlos, Kevin and Sherry Larson, and for John and Pam Lehman, Don and Roseanne Fell, for those hoping to be married, for families hoping for the birth of a child, for those families with young children, for Charlotte, newborn daughter of David and Raven Uttenreither, and for the families who seek peace among discord and chaos, that the Lord would cause them not to lose heart, but that Christ would dwell in their hearts and they would know the love of Christ. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the authorities God has set over us for our good, the Congress, our legislature, and our judges, and for all those who bear the sword and rule the nations in the stead of Christ, that they would do so faithfully, ever mindful of his authority over all things. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord God, Heavenly Father, give us a faithful path through this fallen world, that we may join the saints in heaven, to know as we are known, to comprehend the fullness of the love of Christ, and to confess that God has visited his people in the body and blood of Jesus Christ. Grant us all that we need for the sake of Christ, who died and rose again, and now lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection, opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Mercy.
Let us pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, you have given us a foretaste of the feast to come in the Holy Supper of your Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in the true faith throughout our days of pilgrimage, that on the day of his coming we may, together with all your saints, celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Welcome to the Divine Service. A couple of announcements. First, this Wednesday, we will be celebrating the Feast of St. Michael and All Angels at the 6:30 service. Senior choir here. I want to encourage all of you to come and rejoice in the ministry of all God's holy angels. Pastor Christensen.
Also, historically, there has been an education mini-conference on the weekend of St. Michael and All Angels. As you've seen in the bulletin and you've talked to me, there is a mini-conference this Saturday. It starts at 9 with matins, and it will continue until about 3:30. If you know the name Dr. Gene Edward Veith, he is one of our speakers this Saturday, as is Mr. Nathaniel Pullman. the theme is Lutherans and the liberal arts. So even if you don't know much about classical education or you just want to learn some history, I encourage you to come. It's free. There's lunch included, and we'd love to have you. So if you have any questions, please talk to me. I will have a sign-up sheet in the back. I'm trying to get a head count for lunch, and today is like the day I was hoping to have a sign-up. So if you think you might come, please come sign up with me. I'll have the sign-up sheet right there in the back. You can also email me today, or you can text me, or you can drive up to my house and tell me that you're coming. All of those are good options. So I would really love to see you Saturday. Dr. Veith and Mr. Pullman would love to see you as well. God's blessings.
Thank you. Have a good week.